First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, it's not Alan Nathan. Today it's Karen Cataline. I am a regular guest host of the Alan Nathan Show, if you've listened before, and it is a pleasure and an honor to be here with you. You know, as a part of the team, we have a tendency when we don't have a guest to call in our little internal schedules of guests and bios and, you know, all the things that we have to do to get ready for a show. We call them rants when there's an open slot. I welcome those and I love them and I don't like too many of them because I don't want you to be hearing me for the longest time. But we traditionally call them rants. And I asked specifically to have a segment before we start with our stellar list of guests on this program to have a rant. But the irony is that I'm not going to rant at all. I'm going to be happy and tell you all the reasons I'm happy. In fact, there's a Yiddish expression, kvel, which means, you know, without the crack in the voice. That means, boy, is it a pleasure, is it wonderful, and boy, after ranting and worrying, it turns out that Americans are happier with their government now than they have been for a really, really long time. WorldNet Daily just put out an article by Bob Unruh to that fact. In fact, the Washington Examiner columnist Paul Bedard, who explains that Americans now, quote, have the best outlook for the nation they have ever had. That's huge. If you're talking ever, that's a frickin' long time. A remarkable turnaround so far kept secret by much of the media in Washington, which is hoping always, I added the always, to undermine Trump. So the media, the liberal media, because members of that industry hope to slow the support for President Donald Trump. And boy, that worked for the last 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, didn't it? It didn't really work too well. They tried, they temporarily succeeded, but what they want to do is, and we watch it every day, as the typical, what I call legacy media, looks for every excuse to slam Donald Trump, no matter what the issue. You can look at all your usual suspects of media, the AP, Reuters, I'm still on AOL, AOL News, Huffington Post, there's an enormous list, Washington Post, all of them. And in fact, we're only beginning to find out how it is that they have seemed like zombies marching in lockstep. We now know that there's something called the Internews Network that has been paying our money to give to these agencies so they'll toe the Democrat, radical, woke, leftist company line. That's for probably another rant because I want to stay positive. The positive is that Americans are happier than maybe they have ever been in their lives with their government. And that's saying a lot. If you were around during the 80s, people were pretty happy with Ronald Reagan. Donald Trump is doing things to expose the corruption in the deep state that Ronald Reagan never could have dreamed of doing. That might be kind of a big statement, but I don't think he ever would have imagined either that this was going on or that do something about it. We're talking about an unprecedented level of transparency. We're talking about a president the likes of which is the greatest contrast to the previous president that we've ever watched also in our lifetimes. You had Democrats who were playing weekend with Bernie for 4 years, trying to pass off someone who was close to a corpse, an incoherent, babbling, almost somebody you could feel sorry for if he weren't placed in the position insulting our intelligence of being head of the free world. And you contrast that, somebody who was hiding in his basement during a campaign and did not win that election, hiding from the press after he was placed in the Oval Office, going on hundreds of days of vacation. I read somewhere where there was about 575 days of vacation time in his 4 years, acting like a zombie in the presidency. And what that means not only is that there was somebody else, quote, running this country. And you know what? It isn't running this country. It's serving this country. Somebody propped up that weekend with Bernie's character to what many people think is to affect Obama's third term of the presidency. And we saw what an unfettered nightmare that was. But if you look at the contrast between a cadaver and a president who doesn't sleep more than 4 hours a day, who is running rings and circles around the corrupt left, it's quite astonishing what we're watching. Even the greatest Trump hater who gullibly believed a lying media that Trump was everything horrible, an evil Satan, even though they were out worshiping Satan, that Trump was Hitler, which is a despicable, disgraceful thing to call someone, especially an American president, and to call him every name in the book, a fascist. You know what? Fascists don't cut government. Fascists don't open the books. Fascists don't expose graft, corruption, and influence peddling in our government. So they're basically at their old tricks of trying to accuse their opponents of everything they're doing. But it's never been more obvious. I think that's why people are happy. They're incredibly happy. There is somebody with an awful lot of power who is standing up and speaking out for everyday Americans who go to work, who earn their own money, and then the money is confiscated by the government and thrown down a black hole. $4.7 trillion and counting is unaccounted for. The national debt is $31 trillion last I checked. You know what they say, give or take a trillion, and pretty soon you're talking about real money. Trillion is $1,000 billion, and $4.7 trillion of your tax money and mine went down a black hole. I'm pretty much betting that that didn't go down a black hole. It just wasn't accounted for the kind of payola, the kind of influence peddling, bribery, blackmail, you name it, that's been going on in our government. My hope is that they'll name names, they'll prosecute people, and people need to go to jail for this. Why? Because the left told us again and again, didn't they, that no one is above the law. Never has it been more obvious who is benefiting from all this graft than the people who are terrified that the books will be open and the secrets will come out. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, although we happen to have one, who isn't taking a paycheck, and they want to accuse him of wanting everyone's information and their money when it is them, the deep state, who has has squandered our private information, taken our money, and paid it off to their political buddies so that people like the AP, Reuters, and a whole bunch of other people would do their bidding. People are happy. I'm happy. And I got to take a break. This is Karen Cataline sitting in for Alan Nathan on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned and we'll be back with our first guest. Don't go away.
An engaging novel for readers aged 8 to 12 delivers a heartwarming exploration of the immigrant experience. The Partition Project by Sadia Farooqi tells the touching story of a Pakistani-American girl named Maha who forges a bond with her grandmother after learning about her difficult childhood experiences. When her grandmother from Pakistan arrives in Houston, Maha is more focused on her journalism class assignment to film a documentary. As they start talking, Maha learns about her grandmother's childhood in northern India and the partition that forced her to leave her home and relocate to the newly created Pakistan. Appalled by the continuing painful aftershocks of the partition, Maha realizes she found the topic of her documentary, author Sadia Farooqi.
The partition of India was the largest mass migration in history, and I wanted to help young readers learn about it in a relatable way. I hope this book helps readers, especially those who've been made to feel like they're from somewhere else, embrace who they are and provide a sense of belonging.
The Partition Project is now available wherever books are sold.
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, is a respiratory disease that can make everyday life challenging. People living with COPD can experience chronic cough and difficulty breathing when doing daily activities, such as getting dressed in the morning, walking up the stairs, or going to work. Now, there's a new kind of treatment option available for certain patients that could help improve their ability to breathe. If you or a loved one have COPD, talk to a doctor about getting a routine blood test that measures a type of white blood cell called eosinophils and can help give insight that can guide your COPD management. Learn more at treatyourcopd.com. That's T-R-E-A-T. YOURCOPD.com. This message is courtesy of Sanofi and Regeneron.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe."
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we open our show, at least the guest portion of our show, with Holly Swenson. She's a registered nurse and author of Stop, Drop, Grow, and Glow, forming deeper and more joyful connections with yourself and your children. Holly Swenson, thank you so much for joining us here on the Ellen Nathan Show.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you, too. Before we get into the topic you're here to talk about, give us a couple of examples of things that people can do for a more joyful connection with themselves and their children.
So when you're talking about finding more joy in your life, I think it really comes down to working on yourself. I think so many people neglect themselves and their own self-care. So I think that that's a really great place to start, is really learning to pencil yourself into the equation, because when you're taken care of, you're going to do a much better job at being able to take care of those in your life and just connecting with more joy.
And people can get your book where? It's called Stop, Drop, and Glow. I always do this at the end, but I'm going to do it at the beginning.
No, I love it. My book's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you buy your books. It's also available on Audible and anywhere you buy your audiobooks.
Great. Actually, you know, I did a little monologue right before you came on talking about how people are happier with their government than they have been in a very long time. But the media is suppressing that because they don't want to give any brownie points to Donald Trump. But in fact, people's frame of mind and their sense of optimism is palpable. You can feel it. Would you care to comment on that at all? We'll get to red dye number two in a minute. three. I think it's number three. It's up to three.
I think we're living very interesting times. You know, I think we have a nation that feels somewhat divided. And, you know, the reality is that people elected Donald Trump to be our president. And so I'm hopeful that no matter what side you fall on, that we can just start treating each other with more humanity and, you know, that we foster more respect for all that's involved, you know, and even if you don't agree with your neighbor, that we can start meeting in the middle more and just building a country, based on, you know, on goodness. And I think when we come together, it's going to, you know, pave the way for a brighter future.
Yeah. Holly, we just got done with 4 years of the kind of censorship that was only going in one direction. People were told that they were domestic terrorists for caring about their children, going to school board meetings. Other people were put in prison or whatever for praying in an abortion clinic. There were some profoundly serious threats to our Constitution and our personal freedom going on. So there's a reason the country was so divided. And part of it was the intolerance for differences of opinion, wouldn't you say? Saying that it's not only that you disagree, but you're evil for disagreeing.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an element of that for sure. And I think we have been living in divisive times, and it's hard to watch. And I'm just hopeful that a new day has dawned and that we can start behaving more reasonably. You know, I think that's what it comes down to, and being more tolerable, because that's what our country founded on, is, you know, freedom. And, so I'm hopeful of a brighter
freedom
path forward.
Freedom of disagreement and a tolerance for very, very strong differences of opinion. Going after censorship, I never thought I'd see censorship in America, is what the stuff of communism, socialism, Marxism is about. That's what they did in those countries that robbed people of their freedom. Pointing fingers and saying that, oh, you're the divisive one, they're usually the divisive ones. Nevertheless, so Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I am thrilled that he was confirmed as Health and Human Services Secretary. And he, among others, have been pushing for a ban on red dye number three. You have some thoughts about that, right? And I guess that's not the only food dye. I took a look at something I was eating the other day, and it said red 40. I didn't know what that was. What's red 40?
Yeah. So, well, these are, you know, Red 3, Red 40, they are, they're a synthetic dye that are petroleum based. And so they're not found in nature. And so, you know, these red dyes are what give drinks and food like a bright cherry red color. And they're really just used to enhance the visual appeal, but they, you know, they aren't good for you. And go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. What about a petroleum-based product would harm us, and how does it harm us, do you think, or do you know?
Well, and so the research has found that red dye 3 in particular, it's been found to be a carcinogen. And so that means it's cancer causing. And so there was research done in the 70s and 80s that showed that there was this link. And so that red dye 3 can cause cancer in high doses in rats. And, you know, although they've come back to say that red 3 causes cancer in male rats differently than it does in people. And so there's not a, you know, direct link in that way, but it was enough for them to put a ban in place. You know, but again, so this research was done in the 70s and 80s. They banned it in cosmetics in 1990, but it was allowed to continue to be used in food and ingested drugs until January of this year. So I don't really understand where the disconnect happened. The other piece that I would like to point out for our consumers is that even though this ban just went into effect, these companies still have until January of 27 to clean up and reformulate their products. And in terms of ingested drugs, they have until January of 28. So you need to be reading labels. You need to be educating yourself and paying attention to what you're buying and what you're putting in your body.
Holly, what area of nursing were you in, and how is it that food dyes in that sort of area is such a special interest for you? What got
you
interested?
So my background with nursing, I worked neuro. I loved it. For me, what my focus today really is, and where I've been putting my energy for the last couple of years with writing my book and connecting with people, is just promoting more wellness. That is what really wakes, you know, keeps me going and motivated. And so when you're talking about food, you're talking about dyes, you're talking about, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize this, but poor diet is the leading cause of mortality in the United States. And I don't think that's something that that people are privy to. It's over 500,000 deaths per year are linked to poor diet. And so I think there's a lot of layers to me. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting because we almost have to go. There's so much difference of opinion about diet today. It's amazing. And the very people that told us one thing, we're now finding it's something else. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. People have to educate themselves and ultimately have to be your own best judge. Holly Swenson, thank you so much for joining us here on The Alan Nathan Show.
Thank you, Karen.
Take care. Well, we're going to be right back with another guest on The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network right after this.
The 2025 tax season has officially begun, and many of us are hopeful for a potential, even better, a considerable tax refund. Lisa Green Lewis, a CPA and TurboTax expert, recommends the latest user-friendly services to help make that happen.
The tax deadline for most individuals is April 15th. Start by gathering all necessary documents. This year, the standard deduction is $14,600 if you're filing single and $29,200 married filing jointly, helping to reduce your taxes. Avoid common mistakes like failing to file or procrastinating. TurboTax offers done-for-you experiences with options for DIY or expert assistance at unbeatable prices. New TurboTax users can file federal and state taxes for free doing their own taxes in the mobile app until February 18th, no matter their tax complexity. And TurboTax customers may receive their federal refund up to 5 days early.
Visit TurboTax.com to learn more.
Cenex has launched the second annual Hometown Throwdown competition. The contest invites individuals and organizations to nominate their hometown festival by sharing what makes their celebrations unique. Cenex will award $150,000 to 5 qualifying festivals this year, with the grand prize winner receiving $100,000. The Hometown Throwdown competition draws inspiration from the brand's deep local roots and builds on its long history of giving back to the communities it serves. The entry period for the competition starts January 7th and runs through February 7th, 2025. To be eligible, festivals must be run by a local chamber of commerce, municipality, downtown commission, community-oriented nonprofit group, or other similar organization. Additional information about Hometown Throwdown, including entry requirements and restrictions, can be found at cenexhometownthrowdown.com. That's C-E-N-E-X, hometownthrowdown.com.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we're pleased to have our next guest, at least I think we have our next guest, right? Oh, great. He's an attorney in Canada, host of the Grey Matter podcast. What a great name. And senior fellow for the conservative think tank, the Frontier Center for Public Policy. Leighton Gray joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Leighton. Good to have you with us.
Hi, it's great to be on your program.
Yes, it's always funny. Gray is spelled the same way, two different ways. G-R-E-Y, G-R-A-Y. Same thing, great. Anyway, so tariffs have been just a huge subject lately, and old-style Republicans, I'm a conservative, and I've heard conservatives grouse about tariffs for the longest time. It's almost a religion that they have against tariffs. They bring up Smoot-Hawley and all of that. And it looks like as a bargaining chip in current times, tariffs seem to be working really well. How are they going in Canada? And are you for them or against them?
Well, I think that there's two schools of thought right now in Canada about what Trump is doing with tariffs. The one school believes that what Donald Trump is really doing is trying to gain some sort of economic advantage for America in terms of getting a better deal with Canada on trade. I don't subscribe to that view. I think that view is incorrect, and that's based on evidence. And the evidence is during Donald Trump's first administration, he completely renegotiated the free trade agreement with Canada and Mexico. And at no time then did Donald Trump talk about annexation of Canada or making us the 51st state.
Right.
He didn't talk about the border. And so I subscribe to the second school of thought.
Yes.
And the second school of thought is that Canada has drifted away from our close relationship with the United States. Canada has become a CCP client state. Canada has become a geopolitical threat to the safety and security of the United States. And so I think that what Donald Trump is really saying to Canada, he's not saying to people like Justin Trudeau. He's talking past our leaders, and he's speaking to China, because China has completely infiltrated Canadian government, all of our institutions. They are active militarily in the Arctic, as is Russia. And I think that what Donald Trump is saying to China, you are not going to have Canada. We'll take it before you take it.
Wow.
And I think that's what the language he's talking about in terms of tariffs and a trade war, I don't believe that's the language. And I found more proof of this during his recent Super Bowl interview with Bret Baier, when he was asked specifically this question, a couple of things he said. He said, are you serious about annexing Canada? He said, yes. And then when he talked about, you know, the sort of concessions that he got from Canada, he was asked by Bret Baier, are those enough? And he said, no, it's not enough. And so I think what's really going on here is Donald Trump is trying to secure the North American continent against the real threat, because Donald Trump is convinced, and I believe he's right, that if we're not already in a Cold War with China, we're entering one, and he means to win it.
God, that is so smart. You know, people have said that Trump is playing five level, five 5D or 3D or 4D chess or something. And if what you say is true, then he most certainly is. And he's got people constantly wondering what he's doing. And then people go, that's not so stupid after all, is it? Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I'm a lawyer. I'm a trial lawyer by trade. And so I look at facts and evidence. And look at how Canada has responded to Trump's trade tariffs. Well, there's an article in Fox News. Illegal smuggling coyotes now advertising at Canada border amid Trump migrant crackdown report. Well, this isn't new. We have mega fentanyl labs in Canada and in five of our largest cities. We're a net exporter to the United States of fentanyl, which is absolutely shameful. And when you follow the money, everything fentanyl goes back to China. Canada is not doing anything about our border because we subscribe to the globalist view of open borders. Now, look at what Mr. Vance just said to the EU recently. And look at Germany's reaction, right? He's talking about what's happening in Germany, okay? And so when I look at facts and evidence, I totally agree with you, and I see that what's going on in America is really, really important. It always has been, but it's extremely important. But I see MAGA as a made-in-America response to globalism, which is, in my view, it's evil. Like, these are the people who want to destroy 7/8 of the world's population. Canada's government is controlled by globalism. It's indoctrinated by globalism. It's a totally ideological government, which is why everything in Canada is just getting worse by the day. I am very grateful to Donald Trump for taking such an interest in Canada. Let's face it, an unusual interest in Canada. We've sort of been America's top hat. We're like a loft party, a loft apartment over a great party. That's the way Americans think of us. And I'm quoting the late Robin Williams there. Why is Donald Trump, why are people like Donald Trump and J.D. Vance taking such an interest in Canada? And I think the answer is that there is a geopolitical game of risk being played here in which Canada is a very small player. The United States is a huge player, as are Russia and China. And I think that's who that the Trump administration are really looking at. But Canada is a piece of that because our government and our institutions are corrupted by the globalists. And we have this close proximity to the United States so that we can be used to do harm to the U.S. And that's precisely what's happening.
Boy, that is so good. And politics is very much like a chess game. And that's why I enjoy it so much. Even though I'm not great at chess, I'm not bad at political chess. Dare I add a word to your reference to globalism? You know, globalism, I don't care for it. I care for borders. But to me, it isn't just globalism. It's global socialism. It's global Marxism.
Yes.
It's that brand of globalism that says, we know what's best for you. And we think top-down tyranny is good, not just for our country, but for everyone else's as well. So I might add that. Yeah, I mean, globalism itself, these big corporations want to send their products everywhere. That's benign compared to what we're talking about, which is the absolute brazen takeover. Don't get me started. You're the guest. What I wanted to ask you and leave time for this, comment on to be a liberty-loving, constitutional conservative American and to watch this guy, Trudeau, who just before Trump came into office, people were clamoring to oust him from office, just like Gavin Newsom. They remind me of each other. They look alike. They act alike. What's the deal with Justin Trudeau, and is he the Marxist that we think he is?
He most certainly is, and the best way to describe him is, and I'm going to quote Jordan Peterson, who is next to Wayne Gretzky. I guess he's the most famous Canadian these days.
Yeah, we love him. We love him over here.
But he, and he described Justin Trudeau very aptly several years ago. He says, you know, you don't even need him. He's a microphone for a message. And the message is the same stuff that you folks lived through under the Biden administration. It's anti-freedom. It's actually a death cult. You know, Canada.
And, without
you know,
a doubt.
It makes me weep to say this, but in Canada, we have the fifth leading cause of death is government-assisted suicide. We are a leader in harvesting human body parts, in which China is the number one purchaser, and we have the most permissive abortion laws in the civilized world, which is to say, in history, no country has ever had as permissive abortion laws as Canada. In fact, when the decision came down a couple years ago from your Supreme Court, Justin Trudeau actually sent out an invitation to American women to come to Canada for free abortions. That's I'll just leave it there. That's who Justin Trudeau is.
Well, this same global Marxism is a death cult. I mean, you can see it. Even the whole LGBTQ and the pornography for children, the real motive, the real thing is collective depersonalization of human beings. It's astonishing. Indeed. I love your message, and we need to hear it over here in America. Leighton, how can people find you, follow you, and learn more?
Well, the podcast is everywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, elsewhere. The best place to find our content is on X at Gray Matter Convo. It's at Gray Matter Convo. Thanks
at
very much.
Gray
it's been a pleasure
Matter
talking
Convo.
To you.
Very good. We'll check it out. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Alan Nathan Show. Don't go away.
If you're like most people, there's no telling how far you'll go for the promise of a post-holiday getaway to a land of sunshine. Emily Kaufman, a.k.a. The Travel Mom, can help.
Finding a location that offers a bit of magic for everyone is the key to an unforgettable stay. That's what I love about Disney Vacation Club resorts. They give members and guests the opportunity to stay within the magic while enjoying the comforts of home. Members and guests vacationing at a Disney Vacation Club resort can choose to stay in a variety of different accommodations, including deluxe studios, one-bedroom villas, two-bedroom villas, and even three-bedroom grand villas at most locations. Members can choose from exciting vacation destinations like the brand new Island Tower at Disney's Polynesian Villas and Bungalows that's right in the heart of the magic of Walt Disney World. It's inspired by the spirit of the Polynesian Islands, the Walt Disney Animation Studios film Moana, and the beauty of the natural world.
For more information or to plan your next Walt Disney World vacation, visit DisneyVacationClub.com.
Vaccination rates for COVID-19 and flu are lagging this year, causing concern for many families as infection rates continue to rise. William Schaffner, MD, spokesperson for the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, or NFID, has more.
Most people in the U.S. likely have at least one high risk factor for COVID-19 and flu, but many don't know they have a greater chance of developing severe illness if infected. People with chronic health issues, such as diabetes, hypertension, and heart and lung disease, are at increased risk for serious complications.
Research shows antivirals can reduce the risk of hospitalization for both COVID-19 and flu.
Although COVID-19 and flu antiviral treatments are effective in reducing the risk of hospitalization and death, they're widely underused. Antivirals are available with a prescription and are designed to be given early on to prevent symptoms from becoming more severe.
For more information, visit cveep.org/treatments and nfid.org.
With peak car buying season coming up, one thing you want to think about is how does that affect your insurance? So a couple recommendations we have is make sure you're always reviewing your policy. Whether you're adding a new vehicle, adding a driver, or just updating your coverage overall, you want to make sure that you're reviewing your coverage and the price. One way to do that is to consult an independent agent because they can help you navigate the tricky insurance buying process. The second thing is how do you become more insurance savvy? So a couple recommendations we have is to understand some of the basic terms. The first one is deductible. That's the amount of coverage that's the amount that you pay before your coverage kicks in. And it's important to keep in mind that the higher deductible you take, the lower your premium is. But remember, if you do have a claim, that's the amount that you're going to be paying. So you want to make sure it fits within your budget. The second term is premium, and that's what you pay for the coverage that you're getting. One way to find an independent agent is to go to agent.travelers.com and find a local agent near you.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep for naps and at night to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
Hmm. You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True. But now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me in supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Ankin Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we wrap up this hour with a senior fellow at the Lexington Institute. His name is Paul Steidler, and we have him right now on the Alan Ankin Show. Hi, Paul. Good to have you along.
Hi, Karen. It's great to be with you.
Good to have you. So you're here partly to talk about AI, this elusive, confusing, overly computer, what, you know, everybody thinks they know about it or think they know. What it, they have sinister applications and not so sinister. What is AI other than artificial intelligence, and why do we need to be at the forefront of it?
Well, artificial intelligence is the rapid processing of computer data, the rapid acceleration of it. It's really just building upon processing and computer power and taking things in a new direction here. And AI is already a part of most people's lives at this point. It's what we use whenever we use a mapping system to drive someplace and to get directions. Our kids have been using it for years to go to ChatGPT and come up with term papers that they can write quickly. But it is basically just an acceleration of existing computing power, though it does it in ways that are rather significant and which hold great promise for improving people's lives, because it can do things like accelerate medical research. It can better identify processes for growing crops. It can, you know, it's being used, for example, in a number of medical visits where AI will make a recording and transcribe what is discussed and provide a report with the correct spelling of medications and other information that people need in order to get the best health care. So it's already out there. It can be daunting, but it is having some benefits on our lives, and it's really central to our economic future and for determining who's going to be the strongest military power in the world as well.
I can believe that. I'll tell you what, though. Maybe it's that I'm not 30, a lot older than that. And I see uses that our computerized age from where I'm sitting has gone bananas, and now it's going even more bananas. And while I appreciate that America has to be on the forefront, especially with actors like China and Iran and whomever. Isn't it possible to use stuff for evil as well as good? I mean, I'm reminded, it's a bad example maybe, but when Einstein came up with the theory of relativity and the things that were made to make nuclear bombs, it could be used for good and for evil. And with the amount of corruption that we are uncovering in this government right now and people who have malicious intent towards their own country, it worries me. That doesn't mean we shouldn't engage in it. But, you know, couldn't it be used for extreme evil as well as good?
Well, the short answer is yes, but a lot of stuff could be used for extreme evil instead of good.
Of course.
Weapons in the military, for example, can be used to deter an adversary, or they could be used for very onerous purposes here. I think the key thing, though, Karen, and we always have to be mindful of technology, and it always has to have a human component, a human oversight, and human knowledge that drives it. You know, we have to be aware of the fact that it is much better to be in a world in which the United States, with our values, our checks and balances, our democracy and the willingness of the people to speak up as they recently did, it is much better to be in a world where the United States is going to be leading on AI than China is. For example, on some of China's on China's recently revealed DeepSeek app that came out, you ask them a question about Tiananmen Square or about the slavery of the Uyghurs or other things like that, you're not going to get correct information. So I don't want to live in a world in which the technology is driven by the Chinese. Yes, there are things that we have to watch for, things that we have to check. And by the way, using AI for bad purposes is illegal today. I mean, you can't use AI to try and promote some type of financial scam out there. It's theft regardless, and you don't get a free pass on it because of AI. But I think it's important for the U.S. to drive that process, again, with our values and our checks and balances. And we also have to look, I think, at the upside here, the medical research that can be done, the freeing up of human labor so people can do other things more productively or just enjoy some time off, and just being able to put this to work for us. It's something, yes, there are challenges, there are things we need to be aware of, but the benefits far outweigh the risks and the potential downsides here.
Well, just a comment that you don't have to comment on, because I want to give you one more chance in our couple minutes left to talk about what's needed to exceed competing in the competition. But I just hope that people who are really technology minded and knowledgeable like yourself will remember and take into account. I don't know how you can, but I hope you do. Our values and our checks and balances were almost a thing of the past if the election had not turned out the way it did. We were well on our way to a socialist Marxist hell in which censorship and demonizing people who didn't agree and political persecutions, all the things that we have fought against our whole existence, were teetering on extinction. And there looks to be a new resurgence of love for liberty. And I won't go on from there because it is such an astonishing time in which we're living. So we need to remember that we almost lost it in this country. And that doesn't mean that we'll never get there again. You could comment on that if you want, or you could also talk about what it is necessary to win this AI war that we're in so that we can compete. Oh,
sure.
There's the music. You got to be quick. I'm so sorry.
Yes, the president and the vice president both agree with what you said, Karen, and have made major points in that regard to make sure that AI is not manipulated. for ideological reasons or in any way.
I hate to tell you, I got to leave it there. I'm so sorry. Heidler, I hope we have you back again soon and we can continue this conversation. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with another hour of the Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.